So there you go. It's got to be the court case of the decade. And Derek Chauvin, 45, now faces possibly 75 years in prison. Now he's been found guilty on all three charges of murder and manslaughter in the death of George Floyd. Minneapolis will explode if the judge doesn't pass down a sentence that they think is adequate. And let me just tell you this, there would have been a lot of pressure on that jury to get it right too, because not just Minneapolis watching this, the whole world was watching this verdict as it was handed down by that jury. It was about 7 a.m. Australia time yesterday. So where do they go from here? What are the ramifications, and how is America reacting to the three counts of guilty today, a day later? Amelia Adams is senior U.S. correspondent with Channel 9, and she's joining us live from the U.S. right now. Amelia, good morning and welcome once again to the Triple M Network.
Good morning, Luke. Lovely to talk to you. And I'm relieved to say that I'm talking to you after an unexpectedly quiet night, although obviously we were all working overnight to get our coverage to air. We weren't working, you know, in the streets in riots and chaos and violence, which was, I can tell you, you know, very much anticipated and expected, not just in Minneapolis, but here in LA. Our buildings have been boarded up again. New York, Chicago, all police departments fully activated. This country was just on absolute high alert, you know, should the verdict have gone the other way. And so there's definitely been relief, and you would have seen that in the pictures, celebrations, partying in some cities. But as you say, you know, where to from here? And Derek Chauvin, really this morning, he's just spent his first night in maximum security prison. We've seen his latest mugshot this morning. We're told he's under suicide watch, but his legal fight obviously is not over. It's in many ways, it's just beginning now.
So what is his legal fight? Is he appealing? What's the story?
It's expected that he will. That's almost a given, although it hasn't officially happened yet. That would be the normal procedure. And sentencing won't probably happen for about another 2 months. It's my understanding that there's still a bit of work for the jury to do in terms of, you know, deciding whether there was aggravating circumstances, and obviously the legal team's getting all of their sentencing hearing documentation, and then, you know, the sentencing is, it could be, look, as you said, it could be, if you look at the figures, each charge, I think the second degree murder is a maximum of 40 years. They all have different maximums. The third degree murder, maximum of 25, the second degree manslaughter, maximum of 10. If you add them all up, it could be looking at 70 years, you know, essentially life in prison. More likely it could be around 45, and then there are other experts saying it could be a lot less. So that's sort of the next milestone in this case that America will be watching in a couple of months from now.
And there's a hell of a lot of pressure on this judge. There was a hell of a lot of pressure on that jury to bring down three guilty verdicts. And obviously, first-degree murder was never going to be in the mix, because he hardly set out to murder somebody, but as a senior police officer should have known better. And I'm not surprised at those three guilty verdicts. But gee whiz, a lot of pressure from the mob.
Yeah, and I was surprised, actually, Luke, that they came back so quickly, because, you know, 10 hours to deliberate on 3 weeks of extensive, you know, they had dozens of witnesses on testimony on both sides. They watched every frame of that horrible video of Chauvin kneeling on Floyd's neck. So when we got the call yesterday morning that, you know, the verdict is in, it'll be read out in an hour, I thought, my goodness, it was easy to assume that it must have been a fast and unanimous guilty verdict, obviously they didn't even ask questions of the judge. I mean, it was quite unusual for them to come back and do that so quickly, and guilty on all three counts it was.
And the main defence was they were arguing that George Floyd died not because of the knee on his throat and the lack of oxygen, but because of his heart condition brought about by drugs.
Yeah, and look, there were some times in the defence's case where I felt like they were trying to, you know, throw a lot of different scenarios, throw a lot of mud, if you like, and just see what would stick.
Well, it's all about reasonable doubt, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Just putting those scenarios in the juror's mind. Could it have been his heart condition? Could it have been carbon monoxide poisoning? And all you would have needed was one or two jurors to stand up and say, no, I don't think it's murder. And we would have had a very different outcome yesterday. As it was, I've just, you know, there are a few protests. Portland, almost every night, there's violent protests at the moment. That's not unusual, sadly. Things got a bit nasty in New York with BLM protesters really running up to white Americans eating their dinner in outdoor dining and, you know, protesting at them and saying, get off our streets, attacking police officers, telling them to stand down from their jobs. So, you know, there is still a lot of anger in the BLM movement. I don't think this is the end of it, but I think what people are hoping are that it is the next chapter. And indeed, this morning, the Minneapolis Attorney General is announcing sweeping changes to the state's police department. So that's kind of the first sign since this verdict of real change in the system brought about by this case.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And the ripples of this and the whole George Floyd death, and also because you could see the knee on his throat on camera, and we've seen that vision so often and over and over and over. It's affected people right around the world. Everything from sports teams dropping a knee to the Black Lives Matter. When you think of monumental and historical court cases, I mean, or cases that have affected the world, I think of Rodney King. I think of O.J. Simpson. What else do you?
Those are the two. Yeah, those are absolutely the two. And that's what everyone was talking about yesterday, you know, that had that same sense of anticipation of both of those cases and that same sense of public dread / excitement. You know, everyone was so invested and also same sense of significance in knowing that, you know, if it went another way, the public reaction could have been truly chaotic. And keep in mind as well that in this case, you know, we still have this really recent string. Last week, you had Dante Wright, 20-year-old black man, shot dead by a white police officer in Minneapolis. Yesterday, just before this verdict was read out, Luke, there was a 15-year-old black teenager in Ohio shot dead by a white police officer. So, you know, these things keep happening in American communities. And so you hear people on the streets, even yesterday amid the celebration, saying, you know, it's not over. This doesn't end it. This doesn't change it. But in terms of the historical significance, as you say, there was nothing like the last summer's season of protests. It was, and you and I spoke, you know, several times. I was in D.C. They were burning the streets and trying to, you know, jump the fence into the White House. It was a powder keg of emotion, that video, because we could see him take his last breath, you know, and everyone watched it, as you said, not just here, but around the world. You know, Americans were 3 months into lockdown. People had lost their jobs. Donald Trump was in power. There's a lot of anger towards him. It was such a tinderbox, and it just went off in a way that I don't think this country has seen since the cases you mentioned and really the civil rights movement. And so here we are nearly a year on. Derek Chauvin goes to trial. You know, it's a different America. Joe Biden is in power, coming out slowly into normal life out of COVID very slowly. And these BLM protests, they didn't end. They didn't die down after those big riots that we broadcast in Australia. I've had the park I take my children to every weekend. There's a BLM march there every weekend since George Floyd's death still.
Really?
So the activism has gone on. Yeah, it not only reignited it, but I think it re-energized that movement and the fight. And I think we saw that in the faces and the voices of George Floyd's family yesterday. You know, we can breathe again. We have achieved something. We have achieved some change, but we need to keep the momentum going. And you heard the president committing to police reform. I mean, he called the Floyd family. Pretty remarkable. The US president, straight after the verdict, committing to continue to work with them and to get change. So hopefully that is what we'll see in this country going forward.
Amelia Adams, thank you for being so generous with your time here for us here on Triple M this morning. I know how busy you are. It'd be great to talk to you maybe next week or even on a semi-regular basis. There's so much stuff that's going on in the United States that is of interest to us here. For example, the vaccination rollout, how you're coping with COVID. gun control. There are so many issues. I wonder if we could talk every now and then.
I'd love to do that, Luke. In fact, we're getting an update from the President shortly about the US COVID vaccination rollout. So, as you say, every day there's something happening here, and there's never a dull day. I mean, it's certainly a lot calmer than when we spoke towards the end of last year. But I think the change in the White House has brought about some of that. But it's always great to talk to you, and as you say, always stories to dissect and analyse coming from America, that's for sure.
I'll put you back to Jess. Thank you so much for your time, Amelia. You're a star, and we'll see you on Channel 9 today.
Thank you, Luke.
Amelia Adams, senior US correspondent for Channel 9, live from the United States, here on The Night Shift on Triple M. We'll take a break, be back.